Good afternoon and welcome to Talking Business. I'm Tracy Jones and this afternoon I'm joined in the studio by Ben Calder of the Centre for Integral Health in Shrewsbury. Oh, welcome to the show. We started off with a bit of a riot there from the Kaiser Chiefs and really sort of setting the scene for the music choices. Ben, my guest today, gave me a rather fantastic playlist. A few of them haven't quite made the cut because the station editors thought perhaps it might put people off their lunches, yeah. Perhaps. But you get the idea. It's going to be a bit lively, some of the music choices.
Yeah, sure, definitely. It's nice to have something to inspire you.
So, Ben, I introduced you as being from the Centre for Integral Health in Shrewsbury. Tell us more about that and what you do.
Yeah, sure. So we're one of the only integral health centres actually in the country. There's very few that are working with an integral model to look at proper integration between kind of conventional medicine, NHS and so on, and non-conventional medicine, which is what a lot of people would term as the complementary side of things.
So can you go into a little bit more detail for those who perhaps aren't aware of this term integral, what it actually means and how it works?
Yeah, so it's a theoretical basis that was developed by an American philosopher that looks at why things fit together. So we're not just talking about things such as medicine, we're looking at art, we're looking at literature, we're looking at politics, we're looking at economics, and it's been used in so many different fields, but it helps to understand why there can be different approaches to things that all have validity and how they all work together in different areas, and what they're actually doing is representing different ideas that are from different spectrums of our reality. So as we experience life, it's not just all black and white, it's not all just objective, it's not all individual. There are subjective aspects and there are cultural aspects, and so it's looking at how to actually put all those together in a way that makes sense.
And you have a collective of therapists that work from your centre. What sort of therapies do you and they work on?
Yeah, so we have about 20 therapists at the moment working from the really overt physical stuff, things like physiotherapy, body massage, Bowen technique, kinesiology, into the kind of more what we would class as a subtle energy treatments, all the way through into things like counselling, psychotherapy, hypnotherapy. And then we also run classes and workshops on everything from physical body stuff. So we have one-to-one yoga, we have qigong and push hands. We also do things like laughter yoga. And then we have things like poetry, healing, mindfulness, meditation. So we do a whole range of training and workshops to help both the public and professionals to develop themselves and become more integral in their health.
Sounds fantastic. So where can people find you, first of all, physically, and where can they find more details about you online?
Yeah, physically, we are on St Austin Friars in Shrewsbury, which is right next to the Sixth Form College, so right near the town centre. And online, we are at integralhealthshrewsbury.com.
And there's a nice little video on there on the website giving a little tour of, and a little bit of an idea of some of the therapists that work at your place.
Absolutely. We were very lucky to have Aaron Childs from Painted Life Productions do a beautiful film for us. And he's a fantastic director, very talented. And he really helped us realise a good vision for the centre with the film.
OK, well, we're going to play one of your first choices. And why did you choose this one, Marmosets?
Yeah, well, they're an up-and-coming young band. They've got a lot of vibrancy. They've got a lot of energy. And actually, I think they just do a brilliant performance. And, I love the music. It's very inspiring.
So I'm talking today to Ben from the Centre for Integral Health in Shrewsbury. The question that I've got to ask you is, a lot of therapists are quite happy renting rooms from other people. Why have you got your own centre? What was it that drove you to run your own bricks and mortar centre?
Yeah, I mean, there was a few factors that kind of came together with that. Part of it was circumstantial. The treatment centre I had been working in for the previous 5 years was changing its direction quite significantly and wasn't in line with where I wanted to go. And at the same time, I was really kind of getting into integral theory and integral philosophy. And I knew that if I stayed where I was, then I wouldn't actually be representing what I believed in quite so much. So I decided that I could either leave and go and live in Bali and do something completely off the wall, or I could stay and kind of open my own space. And I could really see that there's a strong need and an increasing need for real, healthy, rational integration between conventional NHS style medicine and the complementary world, because there's so much that both of them have to offer. There's so much good that they both do, but they're both partial models, and without each other they're nowhere near as complete, and they can't do as much good without each other. So the idea was to create a space where we could begin to bring that integration into Shrewsbury. You know, Shrewsbury's a town I love. I've been there for 15 years and you know, I really enjoy living there, and so what better place to start than at home, really, rather than kind of grand ideas of being anywhere else.
And the building itself has got quite an unusual story, the backstory for your actual building. Tell us about that. Yeah, and how sure. It came to be where it actually is now.
Yeah, so it was built in the 1850s originally, and was the headmaster's building for the grammar school in Shrewsbury, which is now the sixth form college. And it's owned by Morris & Company, who are a big landowner in Shrewsbury. And when they wanted to extend their offices, it was a listed building, and they actually had permission to take the entire building down so that they could extend their offices and make them in keeping with their original building. And then they moved it only 100 yards to where we are on St Austin Friars, had it rebuilt brick by brick. So it's a perfect replica. It's the exact replica of what it was. So.
It's amazing, because to think that it's been moved, it looks... Well, just it looks completely intact. It's an amazing job to move it. But there's things afoot, aren't there? You're actually wanting to change the building a little more to make it work more for the services that you want to offer.
Yeah, sure.
So you want to knock down a wall, is that right?
Well, lovingly remove is
phrase
that we're aiming for. But partly because the training space that we use at the moment is restricted in a way because of this wall. So what we're going to do is take down the wall, and it gives us about 40% more space, which means that in terms of the number of people that we can have in to do any particular class or workshop or lecture is going to increase. But it also increases the range of services we can offer and gives us a greater chance of being able to invite higher profile speakers and teachers to actually be able to come and lecture on health, and be able to give the people of Shrewsbury and Shropshire and surrounding areas a much richer experience of health because of it.
Now, you've got a really interesting project on the go, and the way that you're going to fund lovingly removing this wall, so much so we're going to give it plenty of airtime later on. Yeah. But I'm interested in this loving removal of the wall, because one of your areas of expertise is geopathic stress consultancy, is that right?
Yeah,
I forgot
right.
the phrasing right.
Yeah, yeah.
What impact is it going to have on the building if you remove one of its walls?
I mean, that's a really good question, actually. It's something that's often not considered within a house renovation. If you put something in or take something out, does it change it? Because all materials have absorbency, all have degrees of reflection about them. So it would alter the energy of a building. Now, thankfully for us, because you know all of that was carefully investigated and everything within the building is set up to make sure that it enhances the energy, it's actually only going to enhance it, because it's going to give us a bigger freedom of air moving around. And you know, from a basic feng shui point of view, any time that energy isn't flowing around a building, or there's clutter, or there's anything that constricts it, it actually creates stagnation in the energy, or the class of sha qi in feng shui, which is just bad energy. It's kind of like stinky grot. And if you can think like a pile of clothes on the floor that's been there for weeks, or like a pile of paperwork that you know you just don't go near, there's something about it that just leaves it feeling kind of like eh. And when you move it, everything feels better. So and the room that we're not using, really, that we're going to take this wall down to get access to, almost has that quality to it. So it's the least energized space within the center. So once we take it down, it's actually going to increase the fullness and the richness of the energy that's there. So it's going to be really good.
So for anybody that's not heard of that sort of service that you do, mm-hmm. can you explain it reasonably briefly as to what people might expect if they hired you to do some geopathic stress consulting?
Yeah, sure. So generally it comes because people feel there's something odd about the house. They don't feel well when they're there, or there's an atmosphere and air about it. And I use a mixture of kinesiology and dowsing techniques to assess the energy and find out if there are lines or spots of energy that are having a detrimental effect. And then I work out what the solutions are to be able to neutralize or redirect that.
Okay, so if you just feel there's something not quite right, or your house isn't selling, even though it looks beautiful.
Absolutely.
Or your staff are getting sick, even though there's no particular reason
absolutely.
For it.
Absolutely. Or if you're a landlord of a property and you've just had a massive turnover of tenants, you know, you can never get anybody to stay for long. It's often geopathic stress behind it.
Okay, we'll have some more of your music now. Queens of the Stone Age, why did you choose Fairweather Friends?
It's just a hilarious song about the idea that... you know, there are people that just don't stick around through the hard times, and you know, they don't wait to get through into the good times, and they don't support you when you need it. And you know, as a health practitioner, that's something that supporting people in the tough times is really important. And just great guitar work as well. Josh Homme's amazing, so why not?
And if you'd like to be a guest on the show in the future, or if you have any news stories or business related events that you'd like to share, then please do get in touch. Email info@callanfm.com or telephone 01978 293 393, or you can connect with me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/talkingbusiness Callon FM. Ben is a centre, and are you on Facebook and Twitter and all the
yes,
other social
we are
media?
Indeed. So,
where can people find you?
Facebook, we're Integral Health Shrewsbury, and at Integral Shrews on Twitter. And you can find me personally at Integral Patterning with Ben Calder on Facebook, and at Ben G Calder on Twitter.
Right. So you're well represented on social media. And actually, if you go and have a look on Twitter now, there's a vast stream of tweets about coming onto the show. So thank you very much. Yes, retweeted all of those. Yeah. Okay. So you've got your centre now. How long have you had the actual bricks and mortar centre?
So that's just 18 months now.
18 months, yeah.
Little baby.
But you've been a therapist, and you've been in this world for quite a lot.
Professionally for 12 years now.
Yeah. But interested for quite a lot.
Over 20, yeah.
Okay. So when you look on the website at your vast list of qualifications, how did you start? What did you start training in initially?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that I actually picked up was a NLP practitioner's diploma, and was lucky enough at the time to be working with disaffected youth at a youth centre down in Dorset, and a visionary youth centre manager who convinced Dorset County Council to pay for 20 of us to do a 9-month residential. Every month we'd go away and do a practitioner programme.
Fantastic.
And it was incredible. It was really deep. So, yeah.
So you started with that, and how did you then progress through all of the other skills and therapies that you've got now?
I mean, the interest in the kind of the Qigong and the energy work and some of the stuff had been there for quite a long time. And then I was happy enough to be at a lecture by a lady called Sue Lilly, who's now based over in Powys, her and her partner Simon. And they did a lecture called Hacking Your Body's Computer, which was all about kinesiology and ways of actually getting in to work out all the bugs and the bits that aren't working, and how to get stuff working better. And you know, it was really fascinating. And I went up to her afterwards and said, I've got these problems going on right now. Do you think you can help? And she said, sit down and let's find out. And that kind of approach to it really intrigued me. So I then kind of had kinesiology work done. And the lady who I was seeing for that at the time was a little bit nutty, you know, mumbling and wiggling my arm around. And it didn't really make a lot of sense. But I was seeing improvements in my health and my well-being that couldn't be explained any other way. So I decided to put myself on a course to see if I can learn a little bit more about it, and almost the rest is history. I found a real affinity for the kinesiology, and then everything else that came out of that, my interests, you know, to me were just other areas that I thought, I don't know enough about that yet, but that's relevant, and I don't know enough about this yet, and that's relevant. And so I just took myself off in all these directions to kind of fill in the blanks every time I found another blank, basically.
I take it you like to learn. You're
definitely
a lifelong learner, are you?
Yeah, every moment, every day.
So what do you find that you do mostly at the moment? So if somebody sits down, you've got a very integrative approach,
yeah,
but is this a particular approach that you favour over others?
Yeah, so the kinesiology is always the guiding vessel, as it were, because using the muscle testing that we do in kinesiology, we're asking the person's body for information about what needs to be changed, what needs to be added, what needs to be taken away to improve the quality of life they're experiencing. So, and it doesn't matter then whether I'm incorporating some kind of vibrational essence work, whether it's diet and nutrition work, whether it's structural work through something like Bowen technique, whether it's color therapy, whether it's psychotherapy, you know, and even if it's not something I do, we can actually still identify it, and then we can refer out and make sure people are seeing the right people for what's really going on for them underneath the obvious.
The only thing is that your approach I wholeheartedly believe in, but it's not a common approach, is it? So do you have to take a lot of time to explain to people what your approach is and how beneficial it is?
No, I don't find that I need to take a lot of time to do it. I think most people, when they come and see a practitioner, know that something's wrong and know that something needs changing. And for whatever reason, they're going to trust you to do that, whether or not it's because they've heard of the tools that you use or they've had a recommendation about you as an individual, and they will be open to that. And you can just explain bit by bit why you're choosing what you're choosing, which is always directed by them anyway. So nobody's ever doing anything that isn't right for them. But rather than spending a lot of time trying to justify what it is we're doing, it's better to just say, okay, this is what's coming up next, and so we're going to do this, and then let's see how you are following it.
So you're led by the person's problem. Absolutely. Not by the type of therapy that you're choosing to work with.
Definitely not, no, because again, each therapeutic approach, just as the integral model would highlight, is complete within itself but is partial. And that's why there are so many different therapeutic approaches, and why you might get some benefit from one, some benefit from another. It's not that one is better or one is worse, it's that each has its appropriate place. So knowing what to use in what situation is the real key to the success here.
What I'd like to know now, Ben, is what it is that makes you tick. What gets you going? And music quite clearly has got a big part to play
definitely.
In this. But, well, what would you say? How would you define what it is that inspires you?
I think in a way, life is in itself a great inspiration. I've always been a really big people watcher. I mean, I can think back even into school, just finding people being fascinating, what they do, how they do it, what they choose to do, and just how things can change. I mean, even in secondary school, my kind of GCSE work experience week, I went and did a week in a school as a teacher, and went, you know, at university and trained to be a teacher as well, and just found the idea that something that you do or say could make a change in somebody's life that would actually be massive, you know. And you know, as I matured through the teenage and early 20s, realizing that the best version of that is to do something that's actually going to put a positive change in and be motivational, and, you know, to try and be a good model as well, because there's no doubt about it, we've all got our foibles, we've all got our issues, we've all got our problems, we've all got our challenges. But how can I be that will actually, if I go into a supermarket or I walk down the street, just the way I walk or the way I smile or the words I say to people, how is that actually going to improve their day? Because what I, you know, and again, it's always that reflection, isn't it? What I would really want is for somebody who's walking down the street towards me to improve my day by how they are. So it's kind of trying to be that healthy model, but without there being any of the kind of spiritual bypassing idea of only focusing on the positive or only seeing things in positive terms. You know, we've got to acknowledge that sometimes things just suck, you know, and things are difficult and horrible, and we might have a really bad day, but it's then going, okay, so what can I do about it? You know, acknowledge it, be with it, and then decide, okay, well, what can I do right now? And quite often for me, music is an answer. So, you know, I play guitar as well, and or some qigong, or go for a walk in nature, or, you know, just do something that's going to change your state, change where you are. And, you know, the human being is such a fascinating creature in that way, and that, you know, even to a degree, you know, you can be looking through something on social media and there'll be a meme or a picture or something that comes up, and it can change you from being in a space of, you know, down in the dumps and grotty and just not doing very well to feeling really good. And, you know, and if you allow yourself to view life in that way, I think that life is a lot easier. Stuff still hurts, but it bothers you less.
You're an interesting balance here, because your choice of music today is quite rocky, but then obviously you threw in the gentle Foo Fighters, and then you know, your center is an oasis of calm.
Yeah, thanks.
And so you've got these two extremes going on. Is that something that you find, is one an outlet for you let off steam with the music, or is it just a natural balance for you?
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, I know that as a late teenager and an early 20-something, I was a very angry character. I wasn't an aggressive character, but I had a lot of anger inside, and I found that being able to go out and dance to rock music allowed a vessel for that to come through. But certainly in more recent years, working with Ken Wilber and Carl Jung's shadow work, and understanding that we are these two halves anyway, there's always that shadow side of us, the disowned, disapprove of, unloved parts of ourselves that we don't like. And they're the bits that we see reflected in everybody and everything that we don't like. And the healthiest thing we can do is to try and make that unconscious side of ourselves conscious. So and that's where integral really lies as well. It's everything has a place, everything has a validity. And Carolyn Miss talks a lot about with archetypes, which are again a Jungian idea. The archetypes are neutral within themselves. They have positive qualities and they have negative qualities, and it's about how we associate with them. So it's actually just allowing all of that to be allowed. These are parts of me, and I don't need to disown them or get rid of them. And anybody that's done any good kind of Zen non-dual meditation will know that you can't get rid of anything. If we kind of ask to speak to the parts of the ego or any part of the self in 20 years, no matter how much therapy you've done, they will be there. And it's about having a healthy relationship with all those parts of ourselves.
And you mentioned shadow work. Yeah. You've actually got a workshop coming up where you're doing some work on the shadow. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so again, shadow work is one of those things, and often is, that something that comes about because you need to sort something out, because I need to sort something out. And learning to kind of do some shadow work taught me why other people and other things wind me up, why I lose my energy to them, why I'm bothered by them, and how to reclaim that so that I can be informed by them. I can see if somebody's behaving like an idiot or doing something that isn't healthy, but it no longer affects me. It just informs me. And that process doesn't just go for negative stuff either. It actually goes for positive. So the reason that we don't think that we're beautiful, or the reason that we don't think that we're organized, and we idolize people who are, they're so wonderful, they're so great at this, is because that's another part of our shadow that's actually being dissociated and disowned. And so the workshop is there to actually teach people how to take back that energy for themselves so they don't waste the energy and they can walk around as a more whole and more complete person.
And it's a full-on course. It's 2 full days, isn't
it? Yeah, that's right.
And it's in Shrewsbury.
Yep.
All the details on your website.
Absolutely. Events page on integralhealthshrewsbury.com.
Okay. Now, it's this time of the show where I'm going to ask you what your challenges are, Ben. And I sort of briefly alluded at the beginning to this project to lovingly remove your wall. I do like that phrase so much better than knocking down. Is that part of the challenge? Do you have other challenges going on for you at the moment?
Yeah, sure. I mean, with the centre, it's still a new baby. We're 18 months in. And one of the things I realised before Christmas is that as a therapist, as a professional therapist, 12 years experience, like thousands and thousands of hours of client time, I'm a really bad venue manager. So it's been a really interesting challenge to learn where my blockages are on there, learn where my limitations are, and then have to look at areas that I'm not very good at and try and develop ways of managing those or finding people that can help me manage those in a positive and constructive way.
So how are you getting around these challenges then? Because fairly new, 18 months in the business, you're not perhaps a natural centre manager, but we often go into things that we're not naturally good at, but find that we can find a way to become very good at it.
Yeah, and I mean, one of my big problems is I'm not very good at asking for help sometimes. But thankfully, I've got a very good pair of friends in Margaret Carter and Jenny Whittam of Patchwork Pate, who very clearly helped me to see a few bits that needed doing. And of course, they introduced me to you, which, without which, quite honestly, being able to just speak to somebody who's got a different eye, somebody who... And also can respectfully just say, okay, this is what you're doing well, this is what needs looking at, but in a way that makes you feel like it's okay, so that you don't feel criticized by it. And, you know, from you and Denise and Margaret and Jenny, I really appreciate that kind of perspective. And finding people that are actually good at the things that you're not. You know, I know loads of therapists, and they're really good at therapy. But I don't know so many people who are good business people and good business development people. So, you know, that in itself was a challenge.
So let's go on to this crowdfunding, because to me, this is something that's fairly new in my own awareness. And when you started this project, I went away and did a bit of reading, so I don't really know how this works.
Yeah.
You've got a project in order to raise some money to lovingly remove the wall from your space so that it becomes a better space. Tell me about it and how it works.
I mean, Crowdfunder UK, who are the agent we're using, are one of a number of different crowdfunding organisations where they basically give you a platform to put a bid in for something that you want to do. So we're looking to raise £5,000 to remove our wall. And we offer rewards that people can pledge for and bid for. So everything from free therapy sessions to massages to workshops to all sorts of stuff. And once they've bid for those, then that money gets reserved. So once we get to our target and we only have 6 weeks to do it, then the money gets drawn from the people who've pledged, and then we get to receive it. Now, if we don't make our target of £5,000 in 6 weeks, we don't get a penny and nobody gets charged.
Yeah, so the money doesn't get taken from them, and it's not like you could just be £10 short of your target.
Nope.
You've got to make the whole amount. Yep. That's the interesting thing, and the time limit as well. So I would imagine that that causes a certain amount of adrenaline to flow.
It's certainly very motivational, and I think this is part of it. And we did quite a bit of research on why to use Crowdfunder UK and what the optimum time for crowdfunding bids is and where the most success is found and so on, which is why we've got a six-week campaign going on. And so it makes quite a bit of difference to just have an ongoing rolling campaign that just goes until you make the money. It's difficult to keep that motivation up. And also from a business point of view, I don't want to wait 2 years, 3 years until I can do this project. I want to get this done now. We've got things that we want to do, and the sooner we can get it done. And we tried to find funding through more conventional routes and just weren't able to do that. So, you know, we want to do this. And I'm the kind of guy that when I want to do something, I want to do it. And, you know, I don't like hanging around for stuff. Let's get on and let's do the steps and let's make it happen.
And you've put quite a lot of things in place before you actually started the project, so you knew how it was going to pan out in terms of you had certain rewards lined up, and you've got events lined up for towards the end, and you'd even contacted people and said, please make a pledge on the first day because that helps. So planning, I assume, is key to actually doing a crowdfunding project.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd say you need at least 3 months planning before start date, and you need almost like a month of pre-media before you go live to get people ready for it as well. But, you know, really understand the platform you're wanting to use and what you're trying to achieve and make that as clear as possible. So, it's saleable, basically. You know, we're asking people to give money for something, and we want to give them good reason to do it. And the nice thing about having the rewards system within Crowdfunder is that for most of it, you're going to get something back from it. It's not just that you're going to give money and you're never going to see a benefit from it. You know, I mean, one of our rewards is to have a year's worth of free Qigong classes. So, I mean, it's worth about £250.
I know, amazing. If I lived a bit closer, that was on my hit list.
Yeah.
Actually, a year's worth of transport to come down to do the Qigong classes would have been useful as well.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think that from a point of view of somebody actually pledging money, it's really useful as well, because you see, you're not going to give the money and it just go into a pot and, you know, you never hear again, because it's only going to happen if all that money gets there. So you know that your money is ring-fenced for that project.
Yeah, and it can't be sidelined. It can't be taken away for other stuff. It's what it's for, and that's what we have to use it for. So it's really nice in that way, so that people will be able to come and see the building once we've had it done, and they'll know that they're part of the reason why there's more space for more people to come and get more health benefit.
Though it might be a little bit early to ask you this, because because you've not finished yours yet, but would you recommend it as an option for people to consider if they were looking to raise funds?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the first week, we've raised over 1,100 already in pledges. And if you compare some of the other projects that are out there as well, it's a very successful way of working. I mean, the Flow Hive crowdfunding bid that was looking to raise £700,000 to develop a brand new type of beehive, they raised over $1 million in the first 24 hours.
Wow.
And by the end of the first week, they'd have got $3.5 million. So as a potential, if you've got a really good project to go for, and you know, bands are doing it, community centres are doing it, all sorts of people are doing it, then there's a really good chance that people will, and if you've got good rewards as well, I mean, hey, you know, yeah, it's getting something back, then there's a really good chance you can be successful. But planning is a big key.
Okay, well, I really look forward to hearing how you get on.
Thank you.
And we were just discussing before that you perhaps come on and be a regular guest on the Diet, Health and Fitness show with Denise and myself.
I'd love it.
So you can update us on the crowdfunder then, and all about the wall loving removal. I imagine one brick at a time being taken down, and you say thank you to it.
Yeah,
put
sure.
Put it somewhere tidy.
Dust it off and, you know, package it up, you know, nice wrapping. Yeah.
Oh, perhaps you can sell the bricks on somebody else, yeah. Okay, well, that's about all we've got time for. We've got time for one more song. I thought we'd have time for loads more, but there we go. Alison Chains and Rooster. So that's the one we're finishing on. It's one of your choices, Ben. Yeah. Why this one?
There's just something about the line in there that, you know, we've come to kill the rooster, but he ain't going to die. So, you know, never give up.
Okay, well, just remind everybody where they find your centre and where they can find you online as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so we're St Austin Friars in Shrewsbury, and it's integralhealthshrewsbury.com. Thank you.
Thank you very much to Ben for joining me in the studio
Thanks,
today.
Tracy.
I hope you all enjoyed listening to the show, and that you'll tune in again next week for Talking Business on Callan FM.